Welcome to another episode, another live session. Today we're going to be talking about the law of mirroring. And it's kind of funny how this became alive because I wanted to do a live session and have a conversation about this concept that I knew and I have been doing work around. I didn't know how it was called, but I know that if whatever I can see outside of me, whatever I can see, whatever behavior I see in another person that maybe bothers me, I know that if I can see it, it's also inside of me. And in my men's circle, when we do work, one of the rounds that we do is a clearing round, a clearing. So if we feel a charge with another person in the circle, we have an opportunity to state how we feel, state the charge. But this process is not about the other person. This process is about me. So if, for example, I am feeling frustrated with a person and I am judging them to be, you are lazy or you didn't show up or you are X, Y, and Z, after what I have to do, I have to own those judgments, those projections in myself. And I have to look in myself, in my life, where am I lazy, where am I not showing up? And it's an opportunity for me to take responsibility for what I just said. And I always found that it was such a powerful process. It was such a courageous process. And when I was trying to put together this topic for today, I just went online and I say, how is this called? I don't know. And then I found it. It's called the law of mirroring. It's also called the law of mirrors. It's similar to the law of attraction, but quite not the same, but it's similar, it's connected, it's one of the universal laws that we can explore. So yeah, today I really wanted to talk about this topic and I really wanted to have a conversation because I'm not an expert by any means, but I think that this is something that you guys should be aware of, that you guys should be curious about. I want you guys to start using this this tool, this strategy to start questioning and to start becoming aware of stuff in your own life by how you feel with other people. And yeah, we can expand more in how to do that in a second. Okay, Jane says, first time live, but I just finished your course. Jane, amazing. What course did you finish, if you want to share? And thank you so much for taking the course, for taking the time, and for being live. Yeah, amazing. So yeah, guys, what do you think about this law? Is this something that you are familiar with, the law of mirroring? Have you used it? Have you noticed it? Or is this completely new to you? I just want to know. Jane says, the cluttering and organizing, it was great. Amazing, Jane. Thank you so much. I always enjoy having people in my life that come from my courses, and I also enjoy a lot supporting you guys in the course classroom in my courses. And it's just so funny how you guys jump from place to place and how you get the support that you need in the best way that you need. So that's amazing. Kim says, yes, before. Please explain again, Laura says. Yeah, so Laura, today I want to have a conversation about the law of mirroring. And the law of mirroring states that everything that you can see outside of you, it's inside of you too. So you cannot see something outside of you if it doesn't exist inside of you. And this is really practical when with other people's behaviors that maybe may frustrate you. And you may say, oh, that person is driving me crazy, or that person is lazy, or that person is doing X or doing Y and Z and whatever. So you are getting emotionally charged. The law of mirroring states that if you are frustrated, if you are reacting to something in the other person, it's because it exists inside of you too. So this is an opportunity for you to use your metacognition executive functioning skill that allows you to reflect, allows you to be mindful, to come to the present moment, to really notice, like, wow, I am feeling frustrated with this person. I am feeling frustrated with this specific behavior. I am judging that this person is lazy. I am judging that this person is not taking care properly of this task. I am judging that this person is not taking this seriously. So then I invite you to look inside, and where can you own those projections, those judgments that you are using with the other person? Where in your life are you lazy? Where in your life are you not showing up? Where in your life you are not taking care of something seriously? And then this is an opportunity for you to really become aware and recognize that part of yourself that maybe was hidden, maybe was in the shadow that you couldn't see before. And this is a really great opportunity. This is called shadow work. Basically, shadow work means that we have a lot of patterns and behaviors that are in the shadows, that we cannot see them. They are unconscious. And we are shining the light on them. And the law of mirroring is a great tool to help you bring things to the light, to help you become aware of something that you didn't know before that exists in you, that you are maybe doing, but you were oblivious to. So Mora says, I know when someone's actions bother me, there is something about myself I need to address. Beautiful, Mora. That's absolutely beautiful, great awareness. Kim says, very uncomfortable. Laura says, oh yes, we can control or adjust our reactions. So this is what I want to talk about. This is all about how we react. And anytime you catch yourself reacting to something with an elevated emotion and frustration, that means that there is something in there for you to explore. I know that in myself, in my own life, anytime I am feeling charged, anytime I am feeling frustrated, anytime I am feeling stressed, I know that I can do work there. A different story is if I choose to do it or not. Many times I don't have the capacity to do it. I don't want to do it. I want to get distracted and do something else because it's uncomfortable and it takes a lot of energy. But deep down, I know, yes, there is something here for me to address, to become aware, to work, to process. And I could use this for something beneficial. So this is an opportunity for you to really use this tool in that way. Diane says, good to be with you. Ironically, I just worked on this through a work program and a podcast. Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Do you think that this is a coincidence or a synchronicity? I will say that this is a synchronicity. And the fact that you are here and the fact that I thought about this topic right now out of the blue, and the fact that I didn't even know what the name was, I'm sure that this is something for me, this is something for many of you that are present, and this is something that together we are doing and we are co-creating. Absolutely. Denise says, I spent 11 years trying to change a very angry person. Then I saw the anger was in me. Wow, Denise, that's amazing. And this is something that many times is so hard to accept. Because what happens if, for example, you are in a relationship, okay? Imagine that you are in a relationship at work. You are at work and then you have a dynamic happen with a boss. And then you leave that work or you get fired or whatever, you go to the next job, the same happens. And then you leave and then you're always blaming, wow, the boss, the company. And then this happens 3, 5, 7 times. And then someone says, wow, it's interesting that it's always the same. And then having the capacity to look at it and to really think about, yeah, maybe I am the problem. Maybe I have the dynamic inside of me. And maybe I create those circumstances and I am not even aware of. So this is when curiosity and an open mind comes to mind. This is when being open for change, being open to look at things how they truly are, comes into place. And guys, I know it's uncomfortable. I know that many times we don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. It's very uncomfortable. It's easier to deny. It's easier to ignore. It's easy to just keep doing what you know and forget about that messiness that is in there. But sometimes you just had enough and you feel like enough is enough. I don't want this to repeat again. I don't want this pattern, this cycle to repeat again. It is not serving me. I'm done with it. If you're feeling that, that's when this law of mirroring can be so powerful, because you can look at it and you can say, yeah, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I feeling that keeps creating this? And how can I show up in a different way? And again, this is all about responsibility. Becca says, seeing what our responsibilities are and taking action is an act of self-care and care for others. Becca, that's wonderful. And that is so true. It's self-care. But it's still hard to do. And I just want to talk a little bit about the victim mentality and how when we become victims of a circumstance that is outside of us, all of a sudden we are giving up the control. And at the same time, we are giving up the responsibility to change or do something about it. So if I'm working in a company, something is happening and I say, oh, my boss is an asshole, the company is a nightmare, it's nothing with me. So I don't have to change anything. I don't have to take responsibility. I don't have to do anything about it. But what happens if I flip the coin? What happens if I say, hey, maybe I have something to do with what happened? All of a sudden, now I am responsible. Now I can do something. Now I am claiming the power back. But that power comes with a lot of responsibility. And many times it's easier to just let it go. And you don't want that power because you don't want the responsibility. You don't want the work. You don't want to show up. You don't want to be courageous. You don't know how to do it. You are afraid of it. You are whatever. And you just don't want to. And that is very normal. We all humans tend to do that because it's easier. But again, it gets to the point when sometimes it's like, I just had enough. I need to change something here. And it is our choice to be victims of a circumstance or to be proactive and to claim ownership and to be curious and courageous to look at, what did I do here to create this? What did I think? What did I feel? What can I do differently next time to avoid this from happening? And then accepting that you have something to do with it, that is the first step. Forgiving yourself and then being open-minded, starting to use your cognitive flexibility skill to look at other options. How can I do this differently? How can I show up in a different way? Using your emotional self-regulation skill to maybe manage your emotions better, to maybe don't let yourself get carried in emotions to the point that you start reacting. Maybe working on your impulse control, another executive functioning skill, and start allowing for space before you react to things and you take action that maybe you will regret after. So all this is an opportunity for you to do the work, to be present, to start healing, to start processing, to start transforming all patterns, all dynamics into something new that serves you better. BD says, yes, that ties into codependency. I am the most common denominator in all my relationships, for better or worse. Yeah, absolutely, BD, I agree with you. Like any dynamic, codependency, any toxic dynamic that is no longer working for you, you have a part on it. If it's happening, if you are a part of that dynamic, somehow you ended up there. You are a part of that dynamic, because if not, it wouldn't happen. I was watching a video the other day about the law of mirroring. I was just getting ready for this topic, and I always like to go online and then listen to a few people talk about this and see what they say, and see how I feel about what they say, and to learn more. And one of the things that I found very interesting was this person was talking about this law of mirroring from the point of view of narcissistic abuse. And she was saying that this law is bullshit, that this law is saying that whatever you see outside of you, it exists inside of you. And then she was saying that if you are in a narcissistic dynamic and you are being the victim, you are being abused by a narcissistic person, this person was saying that because you are seeing the narcissistic, you are a narcissistic. And then she was going on about the damage that can cause in the person, that how that's not true. And then I was just thinking about it with an open mind, and I was trying to understand, like, how can I apply the law of mirroring in this specific case scenario when someone is being abused? And why is that person being abused in the first place, right? And then this ties with a lot of things, in my own opinion, okay? This ties with generational trauma. This ties with inner child work. This ties with self-worth, self-love, with self-care. There are so many components and layers in here that are acting. But one of the things that came true to me is that for a narcissistic abuse relationship and dynamic to exist, there has to be at least two people. The abuser, the person who is abusing, and the person who is abused. If one of those people change, that dynamic may evaporate. It may disappear, right? But you always need two people at least for a dynamic to work. So I'm not saying that both people are narcissistic. No, it doesn't have to be that way. But the narcissistic is abusing another person, and that person is allowing for that abuse to happen. And I'm not saying that that is consciously. That can be because they never learned how to, because they were raised in an abusive environment. There are so many layers in there that it's very difficult to. Every person is going to be a unique world. And what's needed is going to be so different for each individual. But the dynamic exists. So we are all responsible somehow, consciously or unconsciously, because we were there, because we are a part of it. So I don't know how this sits with you. Let me know what you guys think. Again, this is a conversation. This is not me teaching you about this. This is having a conversation, an opportunity to explore this, to see how each of you feel about this, to see how it shows up in your life, to see how you can use this to gain awareness about yourself, to keep doing your work. And yeah, it's just very interesting and very, very powerful. That's why I felt really, really inspired to share. So Becca says, when we don't take ownership for ourselves, we might be giving our power away. Codependency here too. Yeah, absolutely, Becca, of course. Like, if you don't take ownership, if you don't make the decision, someone else is going to make them for you. And all of a sudden, you are going to depend on someone else to do it for you. And then this is a cycle of you not feeling good enough, you not feeling capable enough, etc. And then leading becomes a huge task, very uncomfortable, very uncertain. So you avoid it. And you always, myself, I do that. Anytime I see a powerful person, guess what I do? I just get behind them. And I trust that they will do the best, way better than me. Because that's my nature. And then I have to work at leading. I have to, no, I can do this. I can show up. But I have to remind myself, I have to work at it. It doesn't come natural to me. It takes a lot of energy. But that is my work. My wife, she's a leader. She doesn't have to do anything. Quite the opposite. She needs to do the work about not leading and letting herself flow with other people's leadership. And sometimes she has a hard time not doing that. So maybe that's her work, because she had to lead way more often and she was born as a leader. She's just a natural leader. So it's very interesting to really understand how we are, how we behave, and then to really find what is the work that we need to be doing. And how can we do it? BD says, I love the gentle question. What is my part here? This helps minimize any shame I feel around behaving in ways that are sorry, I lost your comment. Yeah, I was trying to find the comment, but there you go. Yeah, it helps build self-empathy and self-compassion. Yeah, that's why I always invite you guys to really bring curiosity and an open mind and a lot of compassion, okay? This is not us finding things to blame ourselves, to feel shameful, to just be bad people towards ourselves. That this is not what I'm trying to get today. This is all about us learning more about ourselves and very gently start doing something different if that's what we want, if that's what our inner guidance is guiding us towards. It's just one more tool for you to have in your toolbox for for doing self-care work, for doing healing work, for doing communication work. It's one more angle to look at your reality and to become aware of things that maybe you wouldn't recognize at the first. So let me see the comments. What are you guys sharing? So mirroring can help me change and grow. Yo, absolutely. Mirroring can absolutely help you change and grow. Okay. And I was sharing before that this is a lot of work that I do. I have been doing in the last few years with my men's circle. We call it, we have a round. When we do the circle, we have different rounds. And one of the rounds that we do is it's a clearing round. And a clearing round, it's about you noticing what's present for you with another man, with another person in that circle. And many times, I may feel something with another man. I may feel like I am frustrated about this behavior that I saw in this specific man. Or I am charged about the comment that he said before. Or there is something that is inside of me. And then that's an opportunity for me to look and use the law of mirroring. Because that person, this is not about that person or what I think about that person. This is about me owning what I'm saying to that person. So basically that person is putting a mirror and I am just looking at myself. And if I am judging that person is, oh, you did this, so I judge that you are rude. I judge that you don't care about me. I judge that you whatever. Then after I finish saying what I have to say, I need to look back in myself and start owning what I just said. Where am I rooted in my life? When or in what area of my life I could show up in a different way? Where? And then I have to own that in my own life. And that's an opportunity for me to do a very deep work of becoming aware. That's a shadow work. That's becoming aware. It's an opportunity for me to explore something new that I didn't know about myself. And that person was the mirror for me. So I am really grateful that maybe that person came to the circle that night. And you have to be very courageous to do this work because you are basically judging something to the other person. But the other person has to also be strong enough to know that this, it's not about them. It's about the person doing the work. So they don't have to take it personally. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to. They just have to put a mirror. So we just put like an invisible shield, we call it, and we protect ourselves. But basically, we are allowing the other person to do the work by mirroring themselves. So that's how powerful this can be. So absolutely, this can be very helpful for you to help to grow and to change things. So Elena, what is the law of mirroring, please? I was a little late. Yeah, thank you, Marilyn. Elena, what bothers us in others, we have in ourselves. Yeah, basically the law of mirroring, Elena, and this is a really quick Google search and you will find the definition everywhere. But basically the law of mirroring states that whatever you can see outside of you exists inside of you. Basically everything outside of you is a reflection of yourself. Okay, that's basically what the law of mirroring states. So Maura says, I am sometimes a doormat because I carry guilt on not being strong enough, a pattern of being a victim. I have made progress. Maura, amazing. You are aware, right? And as you keep doing the work of stop being that, as you keep doing the work of healing, the guilt that you are feeling, not feeling strong enough, being a victim, etc., as you start uncovering all those things and the beliefs that are underneath and where did you learn them from and how can you transform them into different ones, as you do that work, you are going to start showing up in a different way. And all of a sudden, the dynamics that were existing in your life before, they will no longer exist because you are going to become a different person. And your actions and the way you communicate are going to be completely different. So this is, for example, going back to being in an abusive relationship, for example. It takes two to tango, okay? It takes two to be in an abusive relationship. One is the person who abuses and the other one is the person being abused. as soon as the person being abused changes, as soon as that person does not allow the abuse to exist anymore and starts creating healthy boundaries, that can be physical distance, that can be clear communication, that can be not allowing things, asking for more respect, etc., etc., the more the dynamic is going to change. And that is just the way it is. And the person abusing will not have as much power over the other person anymore. So that person can either change too, that person can get frustrated and then disappear from the life of the other person, because, or that person can maybe look for someone else to get that dynamic going. So that is really the options there. But I understand that many times getting out of a toxic dynamic is very difficult, especially if you are unaware of it. But this is why you guys are on Inside Timer. This is why you guys are even curious about this law of mirroring. Like, why are you here today? Why do you have an open mind, enough openness to explore this topic? Because deep inside, you are looking forward to doing the work. You are looking forward to finding ways to change, to heal, to evolve. You are curious. You are aware of your executive functioning skills. You are trying to be present with yourself. You are trying to uncover what's truth. And you are being courageous enough to look at yourself with different eyes and to recognize and take responsibility about what you have been doing. And doing that with respect, with love, with empathy, with a lot of compassion for yourself. Not beating yourself up, not calling yourself names, quite the opposite. Honoring and celebrating every step of the way. Like, Emilio, I'm amazed. I celebrate you being able to see that you are a mean person in some circumstances. Now you can change that. It doesn't matter that you have been mean for 1,000 times. You cannot change that. But you can change moving forward what I want to do about being mean. And I understand that I am mean so many times with others because I feel stressed. And I understand I feel stressed because I feel I'm not good enough. And I feel I'm not good enough because I can be still because my self-worth is tied to doing things. So I have to work on, no, even if I don't do anything, I'm good enough anyways. I don't have to do anything. So changing that core belief really helped me. All of a sudden, just relax. Okay, I don't have to do anything to be good enough. I am already good enough. So all of a sudden, my mood changed. I am not mean, but I still fall into that pattern many times when I am unconscious. And I have to remind myself, no, Emilio, you don't want to be mean again. You don't have to do things to be good enough. Remember. You have to remember. And I go back to the same patterns over and over and over. That's why it's so important. Mindfulness is so important, to do the work, to meditate, to practice self-care, to do whatever you need to be doing to remind yourself of the things that you want to change and do. We are all monkeys. Jesse, yes, we are all monkeys. And we just forget. We just forget. Guys, how many of you set a goal, have a realization of something that is really important in your life, and then 3-4 days go by and you realize, wow, I didn't even think about that super important thing that I discovered the other day. And you didn't think about it because you didn't remind yourself. And you didn't remind yourself because you were too busy just living. That's why we have to have a journal, we have to have a calendar, we have to have a way for us to be mindful, to remind ourselves of what we discover, what we want to do. So you are not alone if you are going back. All of us do the same thing. So guys, what's coming up for you so far? Like, I've been talking a lot. I just want some questions now. What do you think about this law? How do you see yourself using it? And do you have any specific questions about how to apply this? Again, this is a conversation. I will try my best to follow my intuition and give you an answer, but maybe I don't have an answer too. So, and that's okay. Yeah, so far, what has been the most impactful thing for you from this session, the most helpful? And silence is good too. I'm okay with silence. Becca says, when we realize our errors, how to approach the person we have been mean to? Becca, I think just accepting and owning your errors, I think that will be the first step. Accepting them, understanding them, and just saying, listen, I was mean to you the other day, and I'm really sorry. I am doing some work about understanding why I get mean sometimes, and I have been recognizing and discovering that I tend to be mean. This is my own example. I tend to be mean when I feel stressed. And I notice that I get stressed when I feel I'm not doing enough, or when I feel I'm being late, or when I am multitasking and someone interrupts me, and then all of a sudden I lose like track of what I was doing. That stresses me out. And when I get stressed, I get mean. So I'm really sorry and I apologize. And then I will explore, what do I need? And I do this with my wife, because many times I am mean to her. And then she say, Emilio, I don't understand, why are you being mean? And then she doesn't take it. That's the thing. Like, this is not me abusing her. She will not take anything. She will just like call me out right away. And that's what I love from her, that she will just call me out and I have to do the work immediately. So then I try to create a boundary. I try to like say, okay, Sam, next time, instead of me getting to this state of being mean, I'm gonna close the door. Or if I'm wearing this cap, that means that I'm not to be interrupted. Or if I do this, that means that I don't wanna talk right now, or whatever. We just make up something to move forward in a different way. So again, accepting what it is, owning your part, and then being flexible and curious enough to ask the person, like, how can we deal with this in a different way? That's what I suggest. And then I will use this law of mirroring to really look. And then when you are being mean, like, or the other person is being mean to you, or you notice a behavior, where does that behavior live? And where does it show up? Starlight says, I can see a beautiful world. Does that mean it exists in me? Or is it possible to make it a reality? Starlight, it's the same. So we are not only talking about bad things here or toxic things. It's the beautiful, it's the same. If you see love, if you see beautiful things in the world, that's because they exist in you too. Okay? So one of the exercises that I read that some people do is when they notice a toxic dynamic, and they notice that they have that too in them, they do an exercise of how can I transform this into a positive one. And they just write things that they are grateful for. For example, they take a specific person, maybe that person was mean to them, so they recognize that behavior, and then they look at themselves and they recognize that they were being mean to. And then they try to think about things to be grateful about that specific person, and then they will just go to the person and maybe tell them, like, listen, I honor this from you, I'm grateful for this, and then all of a sudden they are transforming that into positive. It's just an exercise that you can explore. So healing is not passive. I need to consciously focus and take action. Yeah, Maura, unfortunately, healing is not passive. Many times doing the healing work requires a lot of work and energy. It does. And many times it's painful, and many times it's very uncomfortable. So yeah, majority of the times healing can be very uncomfortable, but it's very healing at the same time. Jesse says, I am familiar with this law, but when others are showing up with bad behavior and I am not, I can't help but resist this law of mirroring. So Jesse, it's interesting that you can't help but resist this law of mirroring. And I think there is something here for you to explore, to be honest. I don't know what that is, but the fact that you can see that in other people and the fact that you are resisting this law, there is something in there for sure that you could explore and discover. I don't know what that is, but it's an invitation for you to maybe be more curious. Denise says, it's painful, and that's why it's easier to focus on the other. Yeah. Let me see. What else are you guys sharing? And as a school, can you talk a little more about signals, you creative, that mean you can talk right now or don't interrupt now? Gracias. So Anna, I was talking like, this is the next step, okay? For example, I was talking about my wife sometimes interrupting me and me being mean to her. But I was being mean because I was trying to do something, I was concentrating, and then I was being distracted, right? But she didn't know what I needed. And that's the thing, it is my responsibility to speak up for what I want and need. And if I don't clearly communicate that, other people will not understand how to do it. So that's why it is my work to really address, like, okay, I'm feeling mean, I'm feeling frustrated now, and I'm about to say something mean. So I have to breathe, I have to stop, don't say anything. Or if I have said it, I just go back and say, oh, Samantha, sorry, come here. I'm really sorry I said that to you. I didn't mean to. I was just trying to concentrate doing this. And when you interrupted me, that you didn't know you were interrupting because I didn't say I needed time alone. I'm really sorry I reacted that way. Please, can we think about fun ways to create a boundary here? And maybe we don't do it immediately, but then maybe after I finish what I was doing, maybe we just go out, we go for a walk, or we have a coffee or whatever, and then I bring it up and say, hey, Sam, let's create a boundary here together so that we both understand. And maybe the boundary is, if I am in this room and I shut the door, that means that I don't want to be interrupted. If the door is open, you can come in anytime you want, okay? So that can be a boundary. Another boundary can be, if I am wearing a cap, that means that I am in the fun mode and I can be, but if I'm not wearing a cap, that means that I am concentrated and I prefer to be alone. Another one is to maybe get out of the house. And maybe she says, listen, if you wanna be on work mode and you have to be alone, go to the library or go to the coffee place or go to your mom's house or whatever. And maybe we can explore that too. So it's all about finding ways, dynamics that can support both of us and the things that we want to do, and avoid the behavior that we are trying to avoid. So this is just one example on how to clearly communicate, how to own my needs and communicate them clearly, and how to create physical boundaries, dynamic boundaries, communication boundaries, etc., to make sure that we are supporting each other in the way that we need. So that's what I was sharing before, okay? And every case is gonna look different, the solutions may look different, but it's all about really finding, getting curious about it and trying to find different ways of doing things until something works. So let me see what else. Becca says, to me, being mean is putting too much burden of my responsibility on my partner. Mine takes it and doesn't call me out. Boundaries needed, obviously. Yeah. So Becca, this is an opportunity for you guys to do an intentional dialogue, an imago dialogue. I have talked about this in other episodes, okay, in other live sessions. It's an opportunity for you guys to express what's true to you in the moment, to express how things make you feel, to express what you need, to explore what's there, because sometimes we don't know. Sometimes I have a dialogue with Samantha and I call a dialogue and I have no clarity why I reacted that way. So that's an opportunity for me to be seen, to be heard, and to have space for me to really explore, why did I do that? I don't understand. But I was mean to you and I quite don't understand why. And then I start sharing what was present. I was doing this, I felt this way, this thing that you did made me feel this way. And while I am doing that, I will have realizations like, oh, that's why I did it. And I wasn't aware before. So it can be also part of that work of becoming aware of something that I wasn't aware before. So great opportunity for you guys, especially for couples, for partners, to do deep, deep work. And partners are normally, we choose each other for a reason. And many times we choose each other for a reason because we really fit very beautifully like this. And many times, if a person is an innate leader and the other person doesn't know how to lead, guess what? They match perfectly because one person is the leader and the other one likes to be led. So all of a sudden, it's a perfect match. But what happens when you start doing work? The person leading needs to learn how to stop leading. The person that doesn't lead needs to start stepping in and doing more, and then that can be messy. That can be very like weird and uncomfortable and different, but that is the work, because both people are evolving. And the same with abusive relationships, the same with any dynamic that has been toxic and both parties want to change, that's an opportunity for, as you do work, things are gonna get messy, and that is just the way it is. When a dynamic changes, people are gonna feel confused because they don't understand what's happening, because things are not working the same way that they used to before. And then all of a sudden you have to relearn what to do here. And it can be messy, uncomfortable, etc. Okay. So Julie says, I came in late just as you were talking about having a choice in the moment when conscious and aware. Moving forward to change all patterning. I was mulling over this just the other day, that I am not perfect. I have so much love for my children, and they know this. They are often showered with my love, acceptance and understanding. And I also get frustrated and impatient. And at times I tell or swear, not at them, but in their presence. I then tend to beat myself up for losing my cool. I recognize that beating myself up is useless and have worked hard to change that tendency. The reset is important to me. Knowing that it's human and okay to get frustrated and impatient. And at the same time, I can change my reactions and I can reset and keep working to change my reactions to my own frustration and impatience. Julie, beautiful. And thank you for sharing. And this is a reality for many parents. I include myself here. Many times I feel like I don't want to be a father anymore. I don't want the responsibility, the burden. I just want to push a button and have 3 hours of complete freedom. And many times people are afraid of talking about this feeling because you feel that you're being a bad dad, but that's what's present many times. Many times I am frustrated. I lose my cool. I lose my patience. I don't want to deal with the mess that Eva does. I don't want to have the patience to get her dressed. I don't want to have the presence to shower her. You know what I mean? Many times I just don't have that capacity because I'm tired, I'm frustrated, whatever. And that is true. I love her to death. That is true too. Many times I am super patient. That's true too. But I'm still human. I'm still, as you say, like, don't beat yourself up, because many times that's the truth. That's what's present. And the only thing that we can do is, how can we make this different the next time that happens? How can I emotionally self-regulate better next time this happens? How can I have strategies? How can I set Eva up for success in a different way? How can I find things to do that will also make me feel empowered to do them with her? When I feel tired, how can I ask for help clearly because I need it and not feel bad about it? Because many times it's like I feel guilty, I'm her dad. How am I calling my mom to spend time with her after school if I haven't seen her all day? And it feels weird to do that, but if I need it, why can't I just go and ask for that help? Why do I have to feel guilty? Why do I have to feel I am not an acceptable dad? So all that is happening in the background to all of us parents many times, right? And many times it's just so difficult to know what to do now. I don't know. So it's normal that, yeah, it's normal to feel any of those things, guys. And I teach this, I talk about this every day, and I still lose my cool so many times, way more often than I would like to admit. And many times I say, oh, Emilio, you should be regulating better. How can you get moody about this? I do get moody about that, and I can't help it. So I'm still working. And sometimes I don't want to do the work. Sometimes I want to stay moody. I want to stay frustrated. And my wife tells me, like, Emilio, get out of that. I don't want to. Leave me alone. And I just need time. And then I come back and say, oh, I'm really sorry. I was really an ass before, and try my best not to do that again. But so many times, it's okay to do that. When you say deep work, can you please give us examples of what can be done? I just came in, sorry. So when I talk about deep work, what I'm talking about is becoming aware of something that is really deep. Becoming aware of something that you didn't know before. becoming aware of something that has been driving your life unconsciously, and you have been making choices based on that story, that belief, and then now you are becoming aware of it. And then you are shining the light on that story, that belief, that pattern that you have been following for so long. And then when you do that, many things can happen, right? On one side, you're going to feel relief, but on another side, you're going to feel like guilty. You're going to feel like, how can I have been doing this for so long? How come I didn't see this? Maybe you are looking for people to blame, or maybe many emotions, right? And that's when the deep work is sometimes looking at the reality, accepting that, and then managing all the emotions that are going to show up from that, and then reframing and changing those beliefs that maybe won't happen instantly, but you will have to somehow create a different reality for yourself. If, for example, I was helping someone declutter their homes, right? And they say, when I think about claiming this room for myself, I feel guilty. So, and I told her, like, where is this guilt coming from? Why do you feel guilty? If you feel guilty, how likely are you to be able to create a space for yourself? You are not going to allow yourself to do that. You are going to self-sabotage yourself until you don't change that belief that you have ingrained in you, that it is selfish to claim that space, that you don't deserve that, and all the stuff that was underneath. Like, you're not going to be able to do anything with this space, because you are not going to feel that you deserve it. You're not going to put the energy that it requires, because it feels wrong. So in this case, this came from inner child work, meaning we went down back when she was 3 or 4 years old, and then stuff that happened at that time came up, and then she learned at that time that she wasn't good enough, that she didn't deserve, that she didn't have space to express herself. So she learned so many things that she has been carrying for the rest of her life. And she didn't know that. She didn't know that. So that's, for example, an example of doing deep work. That after she was able to see that, all of a sudden, she is starting to move forward in a different way, in a completely different way. So that's an example of deep work. But deep work can apply to so many areas of life. But basically, it's looking at something that is painful, looking at something that is difficult, it's uncomfortable, it's messy, something that you don't understand, something that scares you. But deep inside, you feel and you want to look at it. You want to change it. You want to do the work. That is what's called deep work. Just a few examples. Kathleen says, are you saying that I have the same quality that bothers me in others, or that I need to observe my part in why I am bothered? Kathleen, part of the two. In my opinion, this is an invitation for you to be curious about it. When someone does something that bothers you, I think that the question can be, do I do that to myself or to others in any other area of my life? Like, if I am seeing this behavior, do I have that behavior? Do I follow that behavior in other areas of my life? And then be curious and look at the reality. And maybe the answer is no. But maybe then the next question can be, am I a part of this dynamic? Like, if someone is doing something that bothers me, like, am I doing something to make this dynamic a reality? What is my responsibility, my part on this that is happening? And again, look at what is, look at the reality, and then accept whatever is true there for you. So it can be either way, right? It can be that you are that in another area of life. It can be that you are a part of the dynamic and you are actually doing something to make that dynamic be cyclical. So every specific example is going to be different, right? So this is not a law that is 100% always the same. This is going to be very subtle, very, you have to follow your inner guidance to really understand how to use it. But I think curiosity and willingness to look at what is, it's important. Jackie says, as a parent of a young adult, you need an oxygen mask. Yeah. That's funny. My wife and I, we have a word, and it's called pineapple. And anytime one of us says pineapple in each other's presence, that means leave everything you're doing and run, because that means that the person is to the point they are just losing their minds. I mean, not like getting crazy, but they are starting to feel like, I need a time for myself. So I will just say pineapple, or my wife would say pineapple. And that means, okay, I have to tag on. I have to take Eva for a little bit, because something is happening here. And sometimes changing the energy and the person is really, really helpful. So yes, it's funny. The oxygen mask, I totally understand what you guys are saying. Jesse says, I know the power of being responsible in one's life through conscious awareness. However, if someone is acting mean and poopy and perhaps abusive, you need to stand up for yourself. Allowing abusive behavior by trying to reflect into a mirror can be harmful in some situations. Yeah, Jesse, absolutely. And this is part of this law of mirroring, right? What you just said, you have to stand up for yourself. So you basically have to do something different. And the law of mirroring allows you to look and take ownership and say, okay, I have a part on this, what that's happening here. So because I have a part, I can change here. I can stand up for myself. I can ask for respect. I can set a boundary. I can ask for help. I can remove myself from the space and from the abusive behavior. So you can do something different. And it doesn't mean that you are doing the same thing as the other person, but it can mean that you are a part of it. So what can you do to remove yourself? What can you do to stand up for yourself? Sometimes it's standing up for yourself, sometimes it's removing yourself, sometimes it's creating a physical boundary, whatever that is. Every situation is gonna be different, but just doing something different can be really, really helpful. Okay. Thank you so much, guys, for having this conversation with me. Thank you so much for sharing, for keeping the chat going. This is a topic that I really wanted to touch, because I feel that I talk about intentional living, I talk about decluttering, I talk about habits, routines, communication with others, and I feel that this law of mirroring, just being aware of it, being able to use it to question, to really look at yourself from a different perspective, and to really take ownership on whatever you are doing and the impact that that can have in others and the dynamics that are happening in your life right now, that can be really, really helpful. Helpful for you and helpful for others. So I hope that today's session was helpful. Emilio, I hope without saying pineapple, you still can enjoy the fruit. I love pineapple, yeah, but I don't know why we chose pineapple, to be honest, but it's just the word that we chose. Yeah, so guys, thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed today's session. I really enjoyed the conversation. As I say, I'm still learning about this. I thought it was worthy to have this conversation, to share, and I hope that you can get started using this in your life in a practical way, okay? So thank you so much for your donations. I see a couple coming in. If you can support me with a donation, I will accept them gratefully. I also invite you to join my courses. I have 5 courses that you can join right now on Insight Timer, and I have more on my website if you want to check it. And for you to know, I record all these sessions and they are available to you to listen or watch after, and you can share them with others. So you can go to my profile link and you can find an option that says recordings from live sessions, and you can find all the information there. And if any of you are looking to do deep work and you think that I can be the right person to guide you through that, I also have a one-on-one opportunity for you that you can find on my profile link, okay? I will be honored to explore the idea of supporting you if that's what you feel, okay? Yeah, and now Insight Timer changed how the donations work. So 100% of the donations come to the teachers now. So I'm really, really grateful about that, because before it wasn't like that. So now I feel very confident to say donate. Okay, so guys, have a wonderful weekend and I will see you on Tuesday. Okay, until then, take care and start practicing and questioning and becoming aware of the law of mirroring these few days. Okay, Adiós.